You know, growing up, I hated history class. It made me feel dumb because it didn't really make a lot of sense. And I think part of it was that being an immigrant, I didn't have the family context for latching on to American history and American politics. But I think I was also influenced by my parents who had grown up during China's Cultural Revolution. And for them, history and politics were at best irrelevant, and at worst, a great way to tear your country apart over fear and over the manipulation of ideas. So I usually feel out of my element when talking about politics. But this particular election seemed really straightforward. I cast my vote for Hillary Clinton and sat down with a couple of my friends the night of the election in a lot of excitement. And as the night wore on, that excitement dissolved into dread and a real sense of disorientation. And the next morning, it was like this cloud of despair had hovered over the entire city. And even though now I realize that not everybody had voted for Hillary and not everybody was all that surprised by the results of the election either, at the time it felt like we were all reaching out for support, for connection, for community. And so even as I was checking out books from the library on the Weimar Republic, I was also thinking a lot about how rare it was to experience this kind of collective confusion and this kind of collective grief. And I wanted to bottle up the feeling somehow and re-release it maybe a year later after routines and jobs have settled back in and just take that lid off and look back inside that bottle and see if there was anything that we had missed the first time around. So that's how this project began, as a memorial to the grief of the election. And it began as a tapestry of American faces with their immediate social media responses to the election. And it was just in talking the idea out with my partner that it became a story of what would happen if those faces on that tapestry had actually spent a year talking to each other. And when this project began, I had no idea that it would turn into something about much more than politics. It would become about just human beings trying to figure out how to reach into the internet and across the country to connect to another human being. So in the beginning, in thinking about how to approach this project, I definitely wanted to frame up the bones for a success story. I wanted to find the right mix of conflict and harmony that would allow curiosity to thrive. And so I knew in that initial recipe that Facebook was not going to be a part of it because for two reasons. One, given the tenor of the conversation at the time, it didn't seem like anybody was even going to sign up for a project where a current stranger could potentially screenshot something they'd said and broadcast it on the internet in some humiliating fashion. But also, it seemed like conversations on Facebook just happened too quickly, and therefore, there was too much conflict and curiosity just died. So, the initial design of the story had two components. There was a private blog that you had to log into separately, and the thinking there was that would give people some breathing room. And there was also a set of forwarding phone numbers so that if you saw something that somebody had posted and you wanted to talk about it, the only way to do it was to call them and discuss the concept voice to voice. And I thought that this design was going to work great because I had spent a couple of months getting everybody on board. And I talked to everybody on the phone, and everybody was so easy to talk to. So the first question I asked was just to ask people to introduce themselves. And whenever somebody wrote into the forum, each post felt like a little act of courage, because in the tenor of the larger conversation at the time, it seemed to take a lot of trust and bravery just to introduce yourself in a room full of strangers who had voted differently from you. And so, as people started writing in, I thought, this is going to be something really beautiful. It turns out that it's one thing to call somebody and ask them to participate in your art project, and it's another thing entirely to call them and ask them to talk about something political they just posted. So it became clear pretty quickly that people weren't calling each other. And it also became clear that they weren't feeling connected to each other. And at first, as interest started dropping off, I thought, you know, this is part of the story. That's okay, because of course we need to go back to our jobs and our families, and of course we can't be in high adrenaline political mode all the time. But then interest really started dropping off, and I thought, okay, this project might be a total failure. So in hindsight, I realize now that what I had designed in the beginning was a bit of a conversation factory. I would work behind the scenes with a group of facilitators and other advisors, and we would craft a couple of questions every month and send them out, and through that process, a magical conversation would ensue. And when interest started dropping off, we tried to fix it. We scheduled a phone call, which we called a virtual potluck, which helped, but it was really hard to schedule because there had already been a fair amount of disengagement. And what we were trying just wasn't working. So I think I knew what I needed to do, which was to let go of what I wanted the project to be and what I wanted the project to do, and work on just letting it be what it is. But it was one thing to think of this whole project as a meditation, and another thing entirely to get there. So, after sending out a couple surveys and sitting with the silence, it occurred to me that people were holding back, and that in order to get to some kind of understanding, we couldn't be afraid of conflict. And so I got over my fear of Facebook, and at the same time, I got rid of the conversation factory and realized that I had to experiment with my own vulnerability on this forum. And so as we started moving to Facebook, I also started to post some things on my own, and I realized what an uphill battle the other participants had been facing this whole time, because it takes a lot of effort to compress a thought into readable paragraphs that were short enough not to waste somebody's time, but were nuanced enough to mean something, and send it over the internet hoping that it would make sense to somebody with a completely different set of experiences and understandings as you. And so after having experienced that, it wasn't too much of a surprise to me that after some initial re-engagement on the Facebook forum, that interest started dropping off again. And so by the time it came around to me beginning the exit interviews, I thought that the larger lesson here was simply that the internet is not a realistic space for discussing dissenting opinions, that it was really much easier to compress your thoughts and connect with people who already had similar shared experiences as you, and that without the ability to connect, without the time, with other things going on in our lives, that it was actually just unrealistic to try to connect with strangers who were not in the same space as you. And then I conducted the exit interviews. In those first couple of phone calls, where it felt like we were having deeper conversations in an hour than we'd been able to have in a year of online communication, I thought I'd just gotten lucky in the first batch of interviews. But then every conversation turned out that way. And it started to feel as if I had spent a year consuming the empty calories of the internet and had finally found nutrition in a simple voice-to-voice phone call. And looking back, I don't think we could have done anything differently to have improved this outcome, because it was that year-long struggle against our inability to connect over the internet, against our guilt over not having the time to honor a patriotic commitment that we had made, that relief that we felt on just after a year of that, being able to spend an hour simply connecting to a voice on the other end of the line, was what made these phone calls feel so nutritious. And it made me think back to my parents' experience, as they tell it, during the Cultural Revolution, and it made me think about China as it is now, because China is not a country that lacks for a shared national vision, but what it has lost along the way over the decades of political turmoil, over decades of people no longer being able to connect across the categories that they had been placed into, what had been lost was that faith that there's a human on the other side. The voices you'll hear on this webpage or this audio feed come from the exit interviews I conducted with these participants, mostly during the months of September and October. And if you were to listen to them hoping for some kind of shared national vision, I think you'd be disappointed. But I think there must have been a part of me that was afraid that we had lost touch with the humans on the other side of the political divide, and I needed these interviews to remind me that maybe not all conversations need to be solved, that we might be at a point in history where there are some conversations that are just there to be had.